The Jerry Doyle Show.
Anita Finley back on the program with us. Actress, blogger, author. Dirty Words on Clean Skin is the book. 16 weeks, number one position on Amazon.com's Women in Politics. Amazon.com, obviously. All the major book retailers. She's a contributor to EpicTimes.com. We're talking about her latest piece there. And that is titled, Is Equality in Marriage a Sexual Turnoff? Now, in the piece, Miss Finley, who I get to call Anita, says that the study does, which is titled, Does a More Equal Marriage Mean Less Sex? Indicates that men prioritize the erotic and women do not. And she writes, say it with me, stereotype. Now, look, 50 Shades of Grey sold something like 70 million copies. The women flipped out with the casting in the movie because the guy wasn't masculine enough. I don't know one dude, Anita, who bought one copy of 50 Shades of Grey. Right. Wouldn't that kind of just see that maybe women do prioritize the erotic at certain points?
Thank you. Bingo. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's so funny.
Thank you.
During the commercial break, I was circling that line in my piece because I said I have to make sure to talk about that, and I can't believe you just said, I'm telling you, it's like nonverbal communication heretofore only experienced with certain bees. So that's what I can tell you. But it's true. I mean, this is so funny with this research that they're offering what I think is completely stereotypical thinking. This is nonsense to say that women don't think erotically or don't favor erotica in some way. This is just, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. And it is possible. Here's my theory on it, which is completely anecdotal. So you can throw it out with the bathwater if you like. But I think that even judging on the basis of our conversation today, you know, men and women, we still have, there's an awkwardness to talking about some of this stuff. So right. I suspect, I wonder when people are asked, how do you feel about blah, blah, blah? In a survey, how honest do you think people are being? That's what I wonder about. And maybe certain women, they're taught, well, good girls don't do this, or you're not supposed to say that. So they're not talking about it. In fact, 50 Shades of Grey, and, you know, congratulations to the woman who wrote it in her $5 million film deal. This was a self-published book, and she put herself on the map, and more power to her. But, you know, the reviews, I have not read it. The reviews about it were saying, well, not all that well written, but look what it did. It broke through because women are able for the first time to buy erotic and to get it on a Kindle. This was only, you know, an e-book, so they didn't have to go to the store and feel like they had to put something in a brown paper bag. isn't it true?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. But, I mean, there was supposedly a sexual revolution when women decided to burn their bra, but there is now, there's another sexual revolution that's taking place. Women in the workforce, more assertive, making more money, getting married later in life, higher educated, having children later. I mean, all these things kind of lend itself to say, well, you know, I'm taking a look at what the guy's been doing for all these years. I kind of like that. I want to maybe explore that that pathway, so to speak. And it is. Everything's shifting right now. We all want to be able to say this goes in column A and this goes in column B and this goes in column C and never the columns shall merge or meet. But we are going through a lot of shifting dynamics in society, and a lot of it has to do with the economic constructs that we're all working under.
I think that's very true. That's why I'm delighted we're talking about this, because isn't that something that would be great if more men and women were able, even in marriage or in relationship, just to have a conversation? I can assure you a lot of married people are not comfortable talking about this out loud either.
Yeah.
We're just not conditioned to do so. So I think that some of this research and saying, well, you know, couples are less this or less sexual, I don't buy it. I really don't buy that that's true. I think a lot of it has to do, as you say, with the economic situation and think about it. I mean, years ago, you could make a living. You could survive as a one-income family and raise a couple of kids. It was possible. Today, I don't think it is. I think it's much more difficult unless somebody's really making a six-figure income. I mean, it's much harder to do that. And the constraints on people's time is entirely different. And we're inundated with technology. Supposedly, our lives are so much more convenient. I think we're all a bunch of phone monkeys, and the stuff that comes into our life seems to take us away from
clutter.
Intimacy. Yeah, well, how many times? It is clutter, Jerry. And how many times have you been at the airport? I remember being online at the airport to get my ticket or something, and this woman is breaking up with her boyfriend on her cell phone. very loudly. And it's like, wait a second, do you not feel not only that it's invasive to other people, but don't you want a certain degree of privacy? I would never do that. I feel like we are constantly invaded and that people allow themselves to be invaded in this technological world, or that they can't be with their own thoughts for 5 minutes. So what does that say about how they're able to be in the relationship with another person?
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
That part of this?
When you're with a bunch of people, or you're in a crowd of people, or you're sitting at the, you know, the terminal waiting for your flight, and people are just sitting there, take out your smartphone, your iPhone, your cell phone, whatever, and start doing something on it, and watch everybody else take theirs out too. Because it's almost like they're saying, well, I should be doing something. There must be something important that's going on out there. And we're constantly checking in on minutiae, but we're missing out on being able to sit there and enjoy the experience at the airport of playing Spot the Spy. You did that when you were a kid, right? Spot the Spy. You're always looking for Spot the Spy. Now
well,
it's Spot the Terrorist.
The spy.
Right? But you got people sitting at a...
Spy,
at, I know, it's fun. Social voyeurism is just, it's awesome. Here's something that's also interesting to note that you put in your piece. American couples who share breadwinning and household duties are less likely to divorce. And I guess that they can differentiate or compartmentalize between the romantic and the practical.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that's what we should do instead of stereotyping the way we look at it. I mean, why isn't it possible? You know, just because we both work for a living, does that mean that my husband and I are not able to have typical male and female roles when we feel like it? He can
right.
still bring me flowers. He can still, you know, I can still bake him a great cake or whatever the stereotype is, if that's what we're into. If that's
right.
what you're into, more power to you. Why is it not possible to have whatever, you know, fantasy you want to with each other? That's behind closed doors. That's your business. I just don't see the relation why that all has to be thrown out the window. And I also feel that there's a reason why people who share the chores that they divorce less, because they have more time for intimate conversation and intimate relationship with
right.
each other when they do these kinds of activities together. And it's also my position, when you do this stuff together, guess what? The crap gets done faster, and then you guys get more time with each other.
Yeah, the faster you get the work out of the way, the sooner you can get down to business.
Oh, you're killing me, Larry. Wait, I have one more thing.
Larry? Who's Larry?
I had to get it in there.
Is that Mo, Larry, and Curly?
I hope not. But I have one more thing to say about this.
Right.
You know, when you're doing commercial auditions, a lot of times, as you know, there's no copy involved, and they're just looking for a look. So when you go to a commercial audition, they'd bring five of you into a room and always just ask you a question. They'd go down the line. If you're trapped on a desert island, who do you want to be with? So I'm the last one to answer the question. They go down the line, Queen Elizabeth, Elvis Presley, George Clooney, blah, blah, blah. They get to me, who do you want to be trapped on a desert island with? Without thinking, I said, my husband. They all looked at me like I was nuts. And then I looked back at them like they were nuts. I said, well,
right.
I married him, didn't I? I better want to be trapped on the desert island with him.
Good for you. Good for you. So, people are just, there's a lot of people that are having tough times in relationships. 19 years, you work in Hollywood. There's a lot of temptations in Hollywood. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of eye candy. There's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of ups and there's a lot of downs. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's just a lot of chaos in Hollywood. What's worked for you guys for 19 years?
I think, you know, to put it simply, knowing where our emotional bread is buttered. That's really the best way. You know, I just am a person who expresses gratitude, and when somebody shows up for me, and when someone's there for me, we just, you know, we moor to each other. You know, I know who I want to be in the trenches with. And here's the other thing. I have an annoying habit, Jerry. I always ask, what's that really like? Because I always used to, you know, when I was still even in the dating world, I would just get close enough to see the warts, but no closer. I think
right.
it's a very healthy thing to do, to take a look at somebody and not jump in, but just to say, well, oh, how do they tip, and how do they treat other people, and how do they
right.
behave when they're having a bad day? It tells you a lot about a person, because the grass is always greener, but if you just slow down enough and are responsible enough to say, well, what's that really like, then it doesn't look so attractive suddenly, and you realize that who you have by your side is a hell of a lot more important and valuable than throwing it away for something like that. So those decisions become a lot easier.
Now, but there is a cycle to a relationship. We were talking about in the beginning when you meet somebody that you think might be the one. You know, it's like, oh, you like air? I love air. What, you love water? I love water. I mean, the two of you could bathe in the toilet and there'd be enough room for a yacht and you could sleep on a postage stamp and there's still plenty of room to spread out. But it seems like later in the marriage, you could be on a quadruple size California king bed. And it's like, can you move over? What happens?
Well, that's your determination. Not everybody is like
No, it's not my determination. It's my life experience. Well,
but not everybody has had that life experience, Jerry. You know, so I don't want to get any more detailed than that. But that's not everybody's life experience.
No, but a lot of people do. You start off on that high. I mean, falling in love, being in love, it's euphoric. And then reality takes over, and I think a lot of people get into relationships with, I guess, preconceived notions of what that means to them, but they don't take the time to understand what the reality is.
Well, you know, not to sit here and tell tales out of school. I was married once before, a long time ago, and I
realized, you tart!
What a thing to say! You apologize right now.
I was married twice and divorced three times.
I don't even know what to do with that. But anyway.
I got married in Mexico. I didn't know when you came back to the United States, you had to have the courts recognize the Mexican marriage. And I didn't. And California specifically does not recognize Mexican marriages. And I didn't know that. And my attorney didn't know that. So I ended up getting divorced when I wasn't married.
Okay. That's good. The double the pain is what you're telling me.
That's
but the thing is that, you know what I realized the long way is that at the beginning, you know, when I started this, I didn't know how to ask the right questions. And I think, and certainly I'm no genius, and you know, I'm not saying that I'm the ideal of anything, but I just learned the hard way that it really is important. The being in love, that's all great, but you really have to ask yourself, oh, does this person make me cry? Is this person really, do we have shared goals? Do we share a respect for each other? Do we want the same things? There's a lot of questions that couples, I think in some cases, may be afraid to ask, or it's a self-esteem thing, because I also grew up, I certainly feel like I started out with very low self-esteem, and I grew to be a more empowered person as I got older. And I didn't know how to ask those questions. And I also grew up in a very difficult environment where my parents did not have a joyful marriage. So I didn't have an example there. And I think that's part of it, too, that we just have to remember we're all human beings. You know, we do the best we can. If we could do better, we would. And I think part of it is to slow down enough to say, take enough. I have the right to slow down and ask certain questions. And when I met my husband, the good one, I didn't want to make another
The good one.
Well, it's true. And I asked him, I mean, I had my laser beams out and I asked him a million questions.
Right.
And you'll enjoy this, I vomited my personality at him.
Right.
Because I didn't want there to be any misconception. I didn't want to have anybody to have the excuse, oh, Anita, I didn't know you wanted to, I didn't know you want to be an actor. You know, I didn't want anybody to have an excuse not to understand what that's about. And I think that that's something that's of great value. I think perhaps, and anybody can grow apart. I'm not saying that there's no magic formula here, of course. But I think that when you start out your union by doing that sort of thing, at least you have a better than even chance of staying together and growing together and empowering each other and making your dreams come true, at least on an emotional level, and being more satisfied in your marriage than when you start out with just a euphoric notion, but you don't ask those underlying questions.
When you wish upon a star. Anita Finley with us, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Her website, Anita Finley, FINLAY.com. Last question for you, Anita. You were talking about, I'm 57 years old, and I don't think, thinking back to when I was a child, a ute, what's a ute, that I remember anybody in my neighborhood in Brooklyn getting divorced. And is this a stereotype, or is this maybe a truism to a certain degree that back then people might have been too slow in ending a marriage, whereas now today they might be too fast in ending one?
I think that's a valid point, Jerry. Like I said, part of it is, you know, we are skewing toward a more disposable society. that people may make these kinds of decisions easier at some point, or they don't ask the right questions, and they just feel like they have a lot more options, and there's a lot less limiting them from making that move and severing ties. But I, you know, here's one thing that I learned just in my own life. You can pull a geographic, as it were. But, you know, until you deal with your own stuff, until you find out, okay, I picked the wrong person, until I'm willing to look at where was the mistake, what did I do, I'm going to keep picking the same thing. It's like that's the old cliche of the definition of insanity, is right. Doing the same action over again and expecting a different result. You know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, that's my type, but your type makes you miserable. But you keep choosing that type. Here, I got to share with your audience, this is the best advice. When I was, splitting up years ago, I asked a friend of mine, I said, I don't want to make a mistake. What do you advise? He said, next time, notice the other guy. Best
Absolutely.
Advice I ever got.
Good stuff, Anita Finley. Always enjoy talking. Hey, can you answer this in 30 seconds? How's Hollywood these days? How's the acting biz? Is it crazy or what? What's going on?
It's nuts. It's a scale plus 10 business. I just think that it's a lot more star driven, and for people in the middle peripheries, that they sort of get shut out more. So yeah, it's nuts as usual.
Right, but a fun nuts.
Nuts. Listen,
do you have anything?
I'm working.
You're on 24, The Young and the Red. You got anything coming up episodic-wise that we can look out for?
No, the last thing I did was Grey's Anatomy, and, I just went on a great call, so I'll let you know if I get it and keep your viewers posted.
We'll all keep our fingers crossed for Anita Finley. AnitaFinley.com. Check out her article at EpicTimes.com. Is equality in marriage a sexual turnoff? Thank you, Anita.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again soon. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.